As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome back to The Junks. It's time for us to head out now to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer. He's joined us many times before. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We are doing well. So I am perusing your latest mock draft on CBSSports.com. I believe your final edition will come out the morning of the draft in a couple days.
How many has he done? You've done 150.
So many.
Yeah, they scaled it back a little bit, but it's enough to where it feels like you're doing a little too much.
So this iteration, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm running on 3.5 hours sleep. So I think what this draft is this is what you think each team should do, not necessarily what they will do. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right, that's it.
So give us your pick for the Commanders, round 1, pick 29. When we were talking about this earlier in the show, Ryan, I said the least sexy thing that they could do is what you are propositioning they should do with the 29th pick.
I might puke if they do
this. Why don't you expand on that?
All right, get the bucket ready, because I went with Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. And the concern is Sam Cosmi. Obviously, he got hurt in the last game of the season, I believe, the playoff game, and he's integral to what they do along the offensive line and so on and so forth. I get it. But while as unsexy as it is, it's incredibly important to making everything else work. And the great thing about, I don't know if this makes you feel better or not, Gray Zabel, he's going to be a team captain on day one. He's a really good football player. He played outside, played tackle at North Dakota State, and then he'll play center guard at the next level. And it's not the biggest need, but it feels like the most immediate need until you get Cosmi where he needs to go. And, you know, so he tears it in January, so he's probably not ready to go till October, best case scenario. And then you have the transition will be smooth. Now, a couple other things, like edge rush makes sense here, of course. Mm-hmm. We did this is how much they hate me at work. We did a live 7-round mock draft on YouTube a couple days ago.
Yeah, wow. They do hate you.
Wow.
Yeah, and somehow we had 4 guys picking in the first round, and somehow through those, as we got to the end of the draft, Tyler Warren was still there. Now, they took Ben Sinnott last year, and you said, well, do you need another? Well, the Raiders did that with Mayer and Brock Bowers, and I think if that happens, you know, sort of BPA, best player available, someone like Tyler Warren would also be something that you didn't see coming, and you're like, okay, sign me up for that.
He's a stud. Tyler Warren is a complete stud. I would be shocked if he was around, in the mid to high 20s.
Absolutely. And it's just one of those things where it sort of shook out that way, but I think you're right.
Right.
Now, I do see that your colleagues, one had Ibuka, which I think this fan base would be super thrilled with. And then another one of your colleagues had at 29 had the guy that from Boston College that I like. I keep pronouncing his name.
Ezeraku.
Ezeraku. Yep. That guy is super intriguing. I don't know how you go from 2 sacks to 16.5, but I think he did that.
But I want some of that. Yeah,
I want some of that 16.5.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny if I'm reading between the lines here, my mock draft comes in last among the three we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And I understand that for sure.
Least
here's the
sexy.
Thing about Egbuka. Fair enough. Egbuka is, you are going to love him as a person. You are going to love him as a player. He's not going to set the world on fire like a Tevin McMillan or Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but he will be exactly where you want him to be. He's one of the best route runners in this class. He's big for a slot receiver, but he can play outside. So he's going to check every single box and feel like the sort of the culture changer that you want in this new regime. Check, done and done. Mm-hmm. And Azaraki, as you point out, a little undersized, but he plays much bigger than his 245-ish or whatever he played at last year at BC, but incredibly twitchy off the edge. And the concern I had with him earlier in the fall is like he didn't play the run that well, but he got better against the run as the season went on. And, you know, you talk to people and sometimes they say you just have to make it clear to some of these edge rushers that run support is also part of the job description. And once they buy into that or you get them to buy into that, then you see sort of what the evolution that Azaraki had over the course of the season. Both those picks would feel like home run picks and things that you could work with from day one in terms of making that football team better.
So, Ryan, Commanders fans right now, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Like, they want to see who gets picked at 29, but because of all the moves that Peters has made to go get Debo and Tunsil and Lattimore, he's parted with a lot of draft capital. Like, is it a foregone conclusion that they move off of 29 back to the mid-30s or 40 to get some of those extra picks, or do they do that with their second-round pick where they sit at 61 at this point? What's your best guess there?
Yeah, so the good news is if you're looking for an edge rusher, even defensive line help, this class is the deepest that I can remember, and it's probably 15, 20 years maybe. You have to go back to find a class like this. So you can come off that 29 pick and move down. You can move down 10 spots if the board is still looking like you want it to look and you have enough players to choose from in the position you're interested in if it's on defense, edge or defensive line in particular. And the same for when you pick in the 60s. There could be an opportunity to get a day three guy a little earlier on defense just because those guys have gotten pushed down. Now, if you want a wide receiver, that's going to dry up pretty quickly. So at 29, if you feel like you have to take a Mecca Ibuka, for example, because he's there, then you're probably going to have to take him there because he's certainly not going to be there at 60. And then do you want to trade up and try to figure it out? And you probably don't want to have to part ways with more draft capital. So defense, if you're looking for those guys, trade down until your heart's content and stockpile some of those picks that you lost. If you're looking for offense, or my guy Gray Zabel at 29, you're probably going to have to take him there.
Hmm. Just kind of looking at the seven-round mock draft you did for each team, where you and Trapasso, your colleague, did every pick based on how many picks the Commanders currently have. And you went corner in the first round, the kid Harrison out of Kentucky, and then you went Kyle Kennard, who's an edge out of South Carolina in the second round at the 61st pick. Kind of talk about, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went after a defensive back in the first round, if they stayed in the first round. But just talk about, you know, those two players that you like and the needs that you kind of envision for the Commanders' defense.
Yeah, Harrison's an interesting guy. He was injured for much of last year with a shoulder injury that I think that's not something teams are concerned about long term. I can put it that way. A little undersized, but he ran sub-4.3 at the combine, and he has ball skills. He plays the edge. He reminds me a little bit of Devin Witherspoon. He's not going to go top five, but that type of mentality and approach, and he can play. He played mostly outside of Kentucky, but he can play in the slot as well. And just that sort of, you know, you have to be careful, and I know it's recency bias with the whole Manny Forbes thing not working out because he was undersized. This is not that. This is a different type player, and he weighs more than 166, if that makes you feel any better. Mm-hmm. In terms of Kyle Kennard in the 60s there, that South Carolina team was filled with guys on defense who were going to get drafted pretty high, and he was a juiced-up defensive lineman who brought it off the edge consistently. We were talking about him back in September, October, with the way he was playing, and before he was really on a lot of folks' radar, some folks had pointed him out to us and went and watched him, so this kid is all business, and that's how he played the entire season. And again, sort of a situational pass rusher to start, and then you grow him into the role that whatever you envision him being in years two and year three. But I think, you know, you can put him out there on day one, and he's going to create pressure on third downs.
Joined by Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer on the Rude Guest Hotline. So, Ryan, is it sound financially to drain my 401k and put it all on the Raiders picking Ashton Jeanty at number 6, because every mock I've seen for 2 or 3 weeks has him going there. Yours today, or from yesterday, has Genty going six. Is this like the biggest lock in the top 10 that Genty goes to number six to the Raiders?
I'm hesitating and sighing because Thursday will be what I think teams are actually going to end up doing. There's going to be a conversation, from what I understand, in Jacksonville about taking Ashton Genty, and they pick five. So that would be the hiccup in that plan. So do not put your 401k on that, on the Raiders.
Duly noted.
Yeah, just call your broker.
Okay.
Right now.
Put a stop on that immediately.
Because that's a concern.
You and Josh Edwards did the 7-round mock for the Raiders. You have them taking Tet McMillan, the receiver out of Arizona, and passing on Genty.
And that's another concern, not for the Raiders, but for Jacksonville. They could be interested in Tet McMillan as well. But you're right. If Genty's there, it feels like as close as to a layup as you're going to get for the Raiders, even though they have a ton of needs on defense. Genty's special. But I think that the hiccup could be the Jacksonville Jaguars at five. Mason Graham has been sort of the popular selection. I think he's going to slip a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the defensive line class, as I mentioned, so deep. And, you know, if you like Genty and you're trying to help Trevor Lawrence, I think you should take him. Liam Cohen's an offensive guy, so on and so forth. So that's the only concern I have. I would say there's like a 27% chance the Jaguars take Genty there, but I think that's enough to keep you from betting your entire 401k on the idea of him going with the very next pick.
So, Ryan, you have Shedeur Sanders from Colorado going 21 to the Steelers. And the blurb you wrote makes sense. It's an offense there in Pittsburgh that leans on the run game and doesn't have to ask a lot of its quarterback. So I guess that looks like a logical fit for Sanders as he goes down the draft board.
Yeah, and some folks say, well, Kellen Moore in New Orleans would be a better fit. I don't disagree with that. You play indoors as well. We talk about Shador's arm strength compared to Cam, how it's not quite the same, and that's true. But Arthur Smith likes to run the ball, and I think that helps any quarterback, young or old, and that's something that Shador did not have in 2 years of Colorado. The run game was non-existent. They didn't have a tight end, essentially, in Colorado. We'll have that wherever he ends up. And I think Mike Tomlin, probably more than most coaches, can handle any personalities that come into that locker room, good or bad, and that's one less thing you have to worry about. I mean, it could be a situation where we're talking about Shedeur Sanders and Aaron Rodgers sitting next to each other every day for a year, and that's something else you have to sort of figure out. But I think he gets past nine in part because I've heard the Saints like him, Shedeur, but they don't love him. But the other issue is Ryan Ramczyk just retired. Trevor Penning hasn't worked out. They desperately need to fix that offensive line. So I would feel more certain about a player like Kelvin Banks, the Texas tackle, for example, going at nine, as opposed to Shedeur, who, if he gets past nine, between 10 and 20, there's not a team that needs a quarterback. So unless someone trades up from the top of the second, it feels like the Steelers is where his next opportunity to hear his name called will come.
What non-Cam Ward Sanders quarterback do you like? Is there a one that you think could slip into the back end of the first round?
Okay, so those are two different questions for me. I like Tom McCord a lot. I would take him on day two. He's not going to go in the first round. I don't think Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck are first round picks, but we'll see what happens. Uh-huh. And a lot of teams that need quarterbacks pick at the top of the second, so we'll see if they feel like they need to move back up, whether it's the Giants or the Browns, the Jets on some level, pick 40 is the Saints, I believe, whether those teams move up or stay put. I think Jackson Dart's a second round pick. I think Tyler Shuck, I think he's, frankly speaking, I think he's a day three guy. He's 26. He's played 7 years. He started 1 year. He's been injured a lot. I understand that he looks the part.
He looks the part, man. He really does.
I would take Will Howard over him in round three, for example, if you're pressing me on that. But, you know, again, when you get to that point in the draft, those quarterbacks, the first-round quarterbacks hit 45% of the time, whatever. Once you get past that, it's, what, 12%. So you're just throwing darts and hoping against hope. All that said, I'll set the over-under at 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. I don't know how certain I feel like Jackson Dart getting in there, or a quarterback three, let's tell Shuck. I wouldn't do it, but, I'm not making any of the picks.
Ryan, what first-round pick or, like, top of the first round, 15 to 20 pick, is going to get their GM potentially fired in the next 3 to 4 years? Like, it's just going to – a volatile type pick.
Yeah, James Pierce. On the field, he's a top 10 talent off the field. I know he's off some teams' boards. He's made some 30 visits, but those 30 visits have been just to see who he is as a person. And I don't know the details of what happened off the field, but I just keep hearing it's not great.
Yeah, one of his former teammates, I can't remember the name of it, but he said Pierce is basically a psycho.
Yeah.
He's basically psychotic.
So that's great if you're talking solely football.
Right.
And once the whistle blows, you're back to being like everyone else, but it's not great otherwise.
Right.
So he has a really good chance of getting drafted. He has a really good chance of getting drafted in the middle of the first round. And then that question becomes, how is it sustainable? And the other thing you have to think about is like, okay, well, this team can handle it, quotations mark. But you're putting a lot of resources into that team having to not do football stuff and concern themselves with keeping this person on the straight and narrow. And that, you know, that sucks energy away from the football stuff we're talking about. So I think he is probably at the top of the list because football-wise, he's special. But the other stuff, it's going to be a real problem.
Do you have any players that other people are ranking higher than you, you just don't get? You shake your head at. You're like, I don't get why this guy is coming in as a first-round pick.
We talked about Tyler Shuck. That one gives me pause just because it feels like Brandon Weeden 2.0 without the baseball background to fall on. The other one, and this guy isn't a first-round pick, and he's a good player, but I don't like him nearly as much as other folks do, and that's the wide receiver out of Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. He's 6'4", a long strider. He ran well at the combine, but he doesn't play that fast, and folks are talking him up into the second round. He very well could go in the second round. I just didn't see enough in terms of consistently separating against – I think Big 12 is where Iowa State is not. I can't keep up anymore. Well, he's not separating against those defensive backs, so that gives me pause when you're talking about playing against real dudes every single Sunday in the NFL. Good player, though. It's just I'm not quite as high on him as some other guys. He's not in the same conversation as Pat McMillan, for example, who, as someone once told me, you hate the guys at this point until you draft them, and then you love them all. So we're at the point where we have to talk about why we don't like these guys, and then 2 days from now, we'll all be falling in love once again.
But it's pretty much a lock that Ward goes 1-1, correct?
That's something you can bet your 401k one with, 10 million to one odds. That's,
right.
You'll make $25 on that.
Right.
If you had the first pick, would you take Ward?
Yes, if I'm Tennessee, absolutely. Because Brian Callahan, he arrived when Will Levis was already there. And we saw, just all of us together watching Sundays, how angry he got at Will Levis with some of the decisions he made. That's not sustainable. You don't have to be an insider to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Ward, I was at that pro day a month ago, whenever it was. I couldn't believe how good his arm was in person. I knew it was good. It's every bit as good as Will Levis's and Anthony Richardson's. I was at those pro days a couple years ago with the added benefit of playing a ton of football in his career. And he's not just so tense and stiff like when you watch Will Levis throw a football. It's very fluid, and you feel like he can do a lot of things. He has to dial in on the hero ball that he was playing. But we had the same conversations about Caleb and Jaden Daniels a year ago, and Jaden did it better than Caleb, but Caleb finally got there, and that's going to be the big task for Brian Callahan.
Ryan, thanks as always. We know you have to pump out a bunch more mock drafts before Thursday, so we will let you go, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right, man.
Thank you,
thanks,
pal.
As always. Ryan Wilson, well, CBS Sports NFL writer.
Let's just hope they don't draft a guard with that first pick.
I mean,
that
if they step to the podium.
It might even be smart, but it would just be depressing.
If they draft a big 6'6" guy with an 80s porn mustache, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be
happy.
Well,
if they draft that guy over like one of those stud receivers or like Zeraku or whatever, I'm going to be distraught.
Yep.
The overwhelming favorite position based on the Vegas odds, the Commanders drafting in the first round, is edge. Yeah.
Everyone says edge rusher.
Yeah. But offensive lineman is second. Now, it doesn't say
but if one
guard
of those
versus
receivers,
tackle.
One of those like highly ranked receivers drops down, they might say, you know what, I can still get an edge rusher with my next pick.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yep. Depends on.
That would be the
Adam
sexiest.
Peter's board.
I think the sexiest pick for the fan base would be a receiver.
Definitely. All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On the fan. Let's get into EB's entertainment page.
All right, Cakes, the entertainment page driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for my girl Miriam. She's the general manager. Of course, you could check out their entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at BMWOfFairfax.com. When you get there, make sure you mention me, and they're going to take care of you either way, but it helps me out. I appreciate it. All right. A lot of stuff going on, actually. We hadn't talked about Shannon Sharpe yet, right?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Apparently he's being.
Who knows what's true, but yeah.
I don't know. He's being sued by a woman who claims that she was sexually assaulted by him. And then all I saw was that, like, it was the head of, like, Daily Mail. He immediately kind of responded, and he, like, released her name. She filed it under Jane Doe. He said, screw that. He released her name, a picture, and, like, text messages that where they were kind of, like, sexting each other.
He released a picture?
I thought so.
I haven't seen a picture.
Oh, I thought I saw a picture. Maybe I'm wrong.
Send it to me, because I was trying to find one.
Okay, and then I found, maybe I'm wrong.
Then I found, like, the fake one that everyone was sending around.
Maybe that's what you saw.
Maybe I saw it on the Daily Mail, like, a day or two ago when they did the story that he just outed her. Like, she tried to find, he's just, like, adamant that, I guess, it was consensual, whatever.
And he's a freak.
Because there's a lot of rumors running around Shannon Sharp. You know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because we've talked about him before.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors about him. He's wild. I mean, remember, he had this phone out, right?
Yes, that's what it was.
Yes.
When it was hitting the skins, yeah. And you could hear that it went, like, live on his Instagram somehow. Yeah. Which is, like, really bizarre. Have you ever accidentally gone live on Instagram, Case?
I have not.
Like,
not to my knowledge.
I know. I think there's a couple steps you need to do in order to go live.
There's quite a few, yeah.
Case, did you read those texts?
I've not read the texts.
I want you to read them, and I want to see your face.
I've read some of the allegations. I mean, they sound disturbing, but I'll look them up.
Are they, 50 million.
Are they hot, or are they disturbing?
There's a lot of things that she wants to do to Shannon. She says,
"Oh, really?"
Yeah, she claims each cheek is worth $25,000 of hers.
Hmm.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think she's putting a price on her.
She's putting a bounty there.
Yeah.
Hold on. This girl's 20 years old.
The girl I saw looked young. Yeah, I didn't know that young, but looked like a young adult for sure.
I'm reading she's 20.
Yeah.
How old is Shannon Sharp?
Probably it's like our age.
Mid-50s?
Got to be in his 50s,
probably,
right?
Yeah. He's just horny.
Wow.
Well, he's definitely horny.
He's definitely horny.
She's begging for his baby.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
He's 56.
There's a lot.
They met in an L.A. gym.
Where am I going to find these graphic texts? Need to find them.
Eric has. Go to Shannon Sharp's Twitter.
I think I got.
Go to Shannon Sharp's Twitter.
Okay.
Why don't you read them?
Well, you can't read them on air, though, right?
Yeah.
I thought you wanted to read them on air.
No, I can't read them on air. No, they're outrageous.
They're explicit.
Well, you can.
Now, are you?
You can bleep out.
Go look right now.
Bleep.
Are you? What is your thought on the 20-year-old? Is it just that she's overall too young, or just the age difference? Is that what you're most struck by?
I mean, we talk about the Belichick thing. She's 20. He's 56. There's no chance she should be going out with a 56-year-old unless she wants cash.
Right. Well, what about this? Dick Van Dyke is in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 99 years old. You know how old his wife is? 53.
Really? Yeah.
53.
He's 99?
Dick Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he looks pretty freaking good for 99.
That's a great run.
Unbelievable run.
Well, he's still always like whipping out videos where he's like dancing and singing all the time.
Yeah, like he's in unbelievable shape.
Living the dream.
Is that the dream for you?
Well, he's living all my dreams.
He's got a young wife.
Mentally intact. He's physically, I guess, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a young, spry wife.
Right. What did you,
46 year age gap.
Does Sarah know your infatuation with sort of a younger?
Infatuation is not the right word. Curious.
Yeah, curiosity.
Curiosity is a better word.
Does she worry that if she hits a certain milestone, you're going to donk her off?
I don't think so.
She just doesn't know.
We don't share all our inner thoughts.
Okay. Have you seen George Clooney's in the news?
I have not.
So Clooney, who, by the way, they're killing him because he pulled the JP. He went with the hair dye, and it's just all, it looks terrible now.
By the way, I have a bone to pick with Clooney.
It looks like he dipped his head in motor oil.
Oh, he did? Yeah.
Can Clooney come over and fix my daughter's busted Nespresso machine?
Why would he be the guy?
Because he hawks Nespresso. Yeah. Every time I turn around on TV or on Twitter, I see him with his motor oil hair talking about his delicious Nespresso.
Right.
And I can't really get any human help from the company. I need Clooney's help.
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't
think
he's going to help me, though.
I doubt it. He was like a classic kind of like silver fox guy, right? Mm-hmm. Good-looking guy. He had gray. And I'm sure they blended it nicely, so he had some dark, some gray. Then he went all dark.
Hey, what is he doing? He has stylists that can help him with that?
I don't know. He looks terrible. But that's not even the point.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
He made news because he said he and his wife haven't had an argument / fight, even though they've been married 10 years. Not once have they had an argument.
It's like the Allville household.
It's like,
They probably haven't either.
He's like cakes.
There was definitely an argument when she found out about J.A. from Olney. That was 20
years
ago. Trying to think there's been something
since. When was the last argument you've had with Amy?
Last argument.
It's a great point.
I don't know.
Valdez. Cakes is George Clooney.
So you don't believe?
Minus the good looks and,
And the Casamigos fortune.
The Lake Como house.
But I mean, Cakes has that. He has something in common with George Clooney.
Yeah.
He and his wife never fight. And I'm not
Very
even saying,
rarely.
Not even a fight, like where it's bicker, like, where, but like even like a bickering, like an annoyance.
Yeah, like sometimes you can just be annoyed for a day.
Like I wouldn't say that my wife and I fight, but I would say that my wife is annoyed at me 20 times a day.
Yeah. Now, like she needs you to do something and you're in the garage in your tank top beating balls.
Now, my wife may be annoyed with me, but she may just internalize it at times. I don't know.
I would hope.
So do you believe Clooney?
I don't know. People are saying like, what kind of relationship is that? You can't have a normal human interaction and not kind of get annoyed with each other on their opinion about something or something they do.
But his version of arguing about something could be totally different than ours.
Also, they could be not seeing each other very often, right? If she's like a lawyer, isn't she?
I don't know.
And then he's in Hollywood.
So you think they just never see each other?
She's a human rights lawyer.
Yeah.
So you think they just never see each other?
I think maybe they just don't see each other that often.
But they've got twins, though. They got young twins.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
I think they probably do.
Some people swear by that, though. Like, some people just hit the jackpot, like the Auvilles, where they just never bicker and never argue. I remember my teacher. She was like 80 years old in elementary school. She used to brag that she never had an argument with her husband.
Hmm.
And they'd been married 50 years.
It's a good
one.
But that's what I'm saying. But their definition of arguments could be totally different than ours.
Like, I'll give you a classic example. I thought I was doing something nice yesterday. I seasoned all the fish and everything. I went to the grocery, got all the food.
Yeah.
But I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I won't cook it until you get here. Right.
Okay.
But I seasoned everything. But as soon as she came home, immediately, she didn't like the plate I seasoned it with because it was like overflowing and there was like, you know, whatever, lime juice or lemon juice on the table. There's some salt and pepper.
So you made a mess.
I made a little bit of mess. Jeez. She said, could you please use like a larger container next time you do that? Then that's just one thing. Now, it didn't last more than 20 seconds, but I mean, those kinds of things happen all the time.
Can you just go to Home Goods and buy a bigger dish? You're in like TJ Maxx all the time.
Yeah, it's just like little things like that happen all the time.
Right.
You know, I thought I did a good thing. I power washed the deck in the house yesterday, right?
All right,
there was pollen everywhere.
That's a manly
pollen
manly.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Somewhat manly, even though it's a wimpy power washer.
You got a nubby, like, super soaker like power washer.
It's like a plastic.
I'm
it's
so
not
bitter.
That good.
Well, my wife does it. I just move all the furniture out of the way.
No, I was doing
She does
it.
The power wash.
And I got soaking wet.
She's the man of the house.
But then I walked in the house, and I had footprints all over the house.
Yeah, you got dirt everywhere.
Oh, that's
what are you doing, Cole?
That's kind of on you.
Were you wearing shoes or just your feet?
I was wearing shoes. My shoes were soaking wet. But I had to get something.
You get power washed barefoot.
Shoes on. But I mean, it's just
but
like.
What are you doing? You
everything
can't.
I do, I get criticized. Like everything.
Well, that's pretty stupid. I would criticize you for that, too.
Yeah, I'm
well,
not saying
next move
she was wrong.
Here's
I'm just
your
saying,
next move.
But those are normal, daily activities. That's a daily occurrence. 20 times.
You should
a day.
Just stop doing things.
Yeah,
you won't get criticized.
Bagel, hypothetically only speaking, you have to take your wife out of this. You're back to when you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
Would you rather be married to an absolute smoke show who's mean to you? kind of makes your life hell, or just a pig who treats you like a king?
Well, hold on.
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know. What about
like a jagged nose? Kind of fugly.
Like a witch nose?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe like a wart.
But she treats you like George Clooney gets treated.
No.
I don't even think his wife is that attractive.
All right.
Do you agree? She's kind of funny looking.
She's fine.
Hold on.
She's fine. Exactly.
I mean, I would think the most handsome man on the planet might
do better.
Yeah, but
right. I mean, her job.
She's got a lot going for her.
Her job sounds like a snoozer. Human rights lawyer. I know it's important.
Hey, maybe he just doesn't want to argue with her because he knows she'll pwn him.
Of course,
he's
in
a lawyer.
Any argument, he'll lose.
Yeah, yeah, maybe
he loses.
Maybe he's just scared. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just normal interaction with people to bicker, right? I couldn't imagine a life like Cake. I don't know what Cake's.
She's very thin, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Super thin.
I don't know how it is. Cakes just must walk around.
It's called harmony. We try to achieve harmony as much as we can.
I just think it's human nature. You're around someone so often, you're going to clash about something.
Do you not get on her nerves?
I don't know.
What about if you rip one?
I mean,
does she say Cake?
Oh, like, again,
she doesn't call you Cake.
I've talked about this before. I try my best not to just blow rippers like when she's 5 feet
with
away
her
from
like
me
for like 30 years.
I know, but I, like, I like for
it's
the
a
most,
normal thing.
Like, for the most part, I try to like.
So
save
if you
that
had
for the bathroom,
one, if you had
if
one,
I have to.
So if you're sitting on the couch watching TV and all of a sudden you have to rip one, you know.
Look, I'm not saying that it hasn't happened before, but like I try not to make a big like production out of it.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't do that either. Never.
I try to be respectful. As much as I can.
I let him just go.
Sometimes the olive oil speaks.
I just let him go.
Yeah, but then she'll start doing that back, and then you're going to lop my head off.
Yeah.
Last thing I want is my wife ripping farts.
Yeah, you can't have that. That's just unacceptable.
I think that women just generally don't fart like guys do.
Hey, Matt, pull my finger.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I just don't think they do. I just don't think they do.
So there's a lot of relationships that are like that, where the women just rip farts in front of their man.
Yeah,
and they get sized.
Yeah, well,
they get sized.
I don't go and take dumps and leave the door open, and my wife's 5 feet away. Like, I would never do that. Hmm. Likewise, she would never do the same.
Right. Right. All right. Well, anyway, Clooney is like Cakes.
Again,
we learned
tell
that.
Him to come over and fix my coffee machine because that thing broke. It is not operational at this point.
And Valdez, I feel like maybe you should help out Beyonce. You're a big Cowboy Carter fan. You said it was one of the best albums you've ever heard. No one's buying their tickets to the concerts.
Now everyone
will you buy a Cowboy Carter, a Beyonce concert ticket?
Maybe.
Would you take RP to go see Beyonce?
Yeah, we could go together.
Yeah.
You know what?
Or the Day Hive.
You can get tickets cheap. Sounds like those tickets are cratered. Yeah. The market is cratered.
People aren't into, I guess, country Beyonce. I don't know. Well, he swears the album
is a great album. Is
unbelievable. Just bangers.
I mean, I won a Grammy.
Huh?
Won a Grammy.
I don't know what that means anymore. I don't know.
By the way, George Clooney, you have to cut him some slack. He dyed his hair because he's
for a playing, film.
And he's doing like a Broadway play. I think he's playing Edward R. Murrow.
What does that mean? He has to be dark hair.
All I know is he's a news guy. Yeah. I don't know.
Good night. And
that's
good luck.
Gonna be boring.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Again,
with
also
his closing words every night
yes,
on his show.
So that was a
good night. Good luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an old dead guy. That's all I know about him. I mean, sorry, I'm on fumes right
do you know
now.
That
I'm just trying to get,
know,
I'm trying to, get
late.
To the finish line.
I've told you this before. You know that I was named partly after an old evening news guy. Did you know that? I've told you this, and you never remember this.
Who was the person? What was the guy's name?
You've ever heard of Eric Severide?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I believe he was like the number two guy.
Eric Severide was a popular dude.
I think he was pretty popular. But
you were named after Eric Severide? Just Eric?
Yes. My mom liked Eric Severide.
I've never heard those names next to each other
I'm not
before.
Sure he was the top dog. I think he might have been like the number two.
No, guy. But I definitely remember his name. I definitely remember his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Like newscaster, I think.
Yes.
I mean, were these newscasts in Morse code? I mean,
like, no, like in the probably like in the '60s or something.
I'm joking.
I have no idea.
All right, gotta take a break. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. Just a couple more notes from last night's Caps game. Great atmosphere at Capital One Arena. Hope everybody packs the place again on Wednesday. I mean, it was filled to the rafters, obviously, for game one. Game two is Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I almost felt bad for Cole Caulfield, who plays for the Canadiens. He's one of their leading scorers.
He's one of their young studs, right?
He's young.
Why? Why would you feel bad for that guy?
Well, he's 5'8", and he's about 175.
Uh-huh.
And there's a clip of him on Twitter just getting dump trucked by Ovi. I mean, Ovi just exploding into him. And Ovi's a large human. I mean, he's 6'3", all of 225, 230, maybe 235. Right. And I just felt bad for the guy. I mean, he's never going to win that battle, ever. I mean, if they lock horns 1,000 times, Ovi's going to win that matchup 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And he just went flying, like 3 or 4 feet in the air, sprawled out of the ice. So he's going to have more of that coming in the next few games, I would think.
Well, I think that's the key.
Caps were clearly the more physical team of the two teams, at least for 40 or 45 minutes of that
Montreal,
game last night.
They were just smaller dudes. I mean, they were quick.
Mm-hmm.
They were quick skaters, but once they got up to the boards, they were getting pummeled.
Right.
Except for that one guy, Josh Anderson. Let me see how big Josh Anderson
is. Yeah, what does he go?
He's the one who knocked over Willie.
Okay.
He's 6'3", 230.
Okay, that takes some doing to knock over Willie. Willie's a big dude.
And he's a 30-year-old, so he's a veteran. I'm sure he's gotten into it with Willie before.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect Willie to come back after Josh Anderson at some point in the series after what happened last night.
Right.
I mean, he just knocked him over. I mean, you saw that, right? Did you see that?
Of course I saw it. I was outraged.
Yeah.
I wanted a penalty
And then
call.
Willie got up, and he was going to go after Anderson, but then he backed off. But they didn't put Anderson in the penalty box, which I couldn't believe it.
Right. It happened right in front of the refs.
He just knocked them over.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, this is on the Caps Twitter, at Capitals. Brandon Duhame, whose nickname is Doggy. I think Ovi gave him that nickname.
All right.
He read the lineup card before they went out on the ice last night. So we have the audio of Doggy reading the lineup card before the Caps took on Montreal.
We got Paul! Hey! Stromer! Hey! Oh! Hey! Sandy! Hey! Rising! Hey! LT!
So at the end, he's got like an index card or whatever. He crumples it up and starts eating it at the end of the bit. Like he's in such a fever pitch.
Is this something that they always do? Did they have a guy read the lineup card?
The lineup for the starters always gets read before they go out on the ice.
Now, by a player?
Even regular
season? I
don't know
if it's always a player, but it's sometimes they'll have, you know, like special guests come in and do it. Sometimes coaches will do it. Sometimes former players will do it.
Right.
Sometimes current players will do it.
Right.
He just took it a step further by just eating the lineup card after he was done. Yeah.
Like it's Francis Dollarhide, the painting.
Yeah. Like he went above and beyond. Like he's a different cat. Doggy, also known as Brandon Duhame.
I didn't know that's a thing. We gotta keep an eye on that.
Gotta keep an eye on it. Going forward.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
The other guy I didn't like last night was, I think his name is Newhook.
Okay.
Alex Newhook.
I'm trying to come up with all the guys that we're gonna hate.
I don't like him. He was the one who came up. There was a scrum near the boards and he came up behind, I think it was Mangiapane.
Okay.
And he was basically strangling him.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that from last night.
And then I can't remember. Someone went to the penalty box, and Mangiapane was saying that's effing BS.
Right.
To that
probably
guy,
should have been some like interference or something.
He was grabbing him like this and strangling him.
Right.
I mean, he was trying to choke him.
I know.
So I said I don't like Newhook and I don't like Josh Anderson.
That game was definitely getting chippy at points throughout. I mean,
it was
like from the very beginning,
from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, it was chippy for three periods.
I would expect to see a lot more of that in game two. Because, look, Montreal, they need to even the series. They don't want to go back to Montreal in a 0-2 hole.
Correct.
So they're going to try to do whatever they can to get get under the Cap skin, get the Caps in the penalty box, try to win it with special teams.
Were you surprised at how well LT played?
I was a little bit surprised.
He hadn't played since April 2nd.
I thought he was going to be a bit rusty.
So he hadn't played in 20 days.
Yeah. I mean, he was impressive. He looked like the December and January version of Logan Thompson last night.
I was reminded when just kind of reading the recap of the game and what a difference a year makes. A year ago, so not only does Ovi get his first to have two goals,
mm-hmm.
And have his first overtime, game winner in the playoffs. He last year in the playoff series, he didn't record a point.
That's right. He didn't have one point.
He didn't have a point in the playoff loss.
That was an utterly forgettable series against the Rangers.
And then to think he would rebound not only with the regular season that he had, which is just, you couldn't even think it. And then to start off the playoffs like this bodes well, Cakes.
Oh, I mean, to deliver the game winner when, everything could have gone sideways.
Yeah.
Going into overtime, one bad bounce, Montreal could have stolen a game, stolen home ice away, and Ovi does hero things. That's what heroes do, EB. Yeah. They came up big in the clutch.
Yeah. Well, everything just...
And also, let me give Ovi a golf clap. Thank you for doing it. About two and a half minutes into overtime. Overtime. Right. Overtime.
How quickly after you scored did you roll out of there? Like almost immediately?
Within about 30 to 45 seconds. We saw a little bit of the celebration on the ice.
And you got the hell out of there.
And we got out of Dodge.
And then how many people are just honking three, let's go Caps?
You know, last night I don't think there was any of that.
You didn't hear any of that?
Didn't hear it. I got out pretty quick. Didn't hear it in the parking garage. Didn't hear it out on the street.
Usually you hear it in the parking garage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then as you're getting out of there, like on 6th Street or whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Guards
just waving you out on the street frantically.
We didn't talk about this, but speaking of the Rangers, I couldn't believe they fired Laviolette after 2 years. They finished first in the division his first year, went to the conference finals. All right, they missed the playoffs, and they fire him.
I like Laviolette, but same thing that happened here. When you don't play and develop your young players to help out the older aging core.
You gotta go.
Mm. You gotta get the young dudes in the mix.
Yeah, but I would assume that their GM and owner, they know that. They know what
they knew that when they hired him.
That's what I'm saying.
So
and they fire him after 2 years?
Threw him overboard. Like he was at, Beer Can Alley?
Beer Can Alley.
Right into the water.
I was just kind of surprised by it.
And nothing but nice to us, but we'll see what happens with him in the future. We got to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.